Council held at Holy Trinity Church, Exmouth, on Monday the 30th of October. Apologies for absence, please.
I've had apologies from Councillor Mark Williamson, Councillor John Humphreys, Councillor Pauline Garbutt, and Councillor Darrell Nicholas, who hopes to join us later.
Councillor Brian Talk.
Christine Channon has also sent apologies.
She's hoping to get here, but as well as she get off.
Okay, right.
Tony Hill.
Tony Hill, Claire Goff, and Christine Channon sent apologies, although obviously she's a county councillor.
Thank you very much. It looks as though we've met without the curse tonight.
No, I'm doing.
Oh, are you? Oh, right, fine.
It's just meant to be wrong.
You're getting paid for that as well. And we have no members of the public. So we pass on to next part of the agenda. The council meeting minutes of the meeting held on the Monday, the 2nd of October, 2017. Would somebody like to indicate that they're a correct record, please?
Steve.
Bruce.
And Bruce, thank you very much. All those in favour? Carried. Matters arising from the council minutes. Page 169. Page 170. Page 171. Page 172.
Jeff.
Steve.
Just to ask whether this has had any feedback on the two motions. Can I say that on the second motion, I did speak to my colleagues at the fire station and the ambulance station, and they were extremely grateful.
Okay.
For the comments that have been made.
So the letter, certainly in respect of the first motion, the letter has gone to Councillor Stuart Hughes at the County Council and copied into our county councillors. The second one has not gone because I was waiting for clarification from the planning department at East Devon District Council whether there were any existing planning conditions. They have come back to me end of last week. They came back to say that there aren't any existing planning conditions relating to traffic control in respect of the existing phases. So I need to word the letter such that they are aware that we would like planning conditions to be imposed in future phases. And I also wrote to the fire service. I wrote to the commander of Blue Watch, I think, the gentleman that we met when we went up to the flooding and land drainage working party, to ask for him to corroborate the need for the automated switching service, which was what was minuted last time, that I needed to go back to the fire and rescue service to collaborate the motion. So I haven't heard formally from them, but the letter's drafted and ready to go. So if I don't hear from him in the next couple of days, I'll chase that up and then I'll get that off. All right. Stuart Hughes is aware that a second motion, a second letter is coming, but I said I was waiting for further information before I sent it. So he is aware that that's still pending.
Thank you.
All right.
Bruce. Right. That's fine then. Matters arising. Declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Members to declare any interests that they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Right, thank you, Pat. Steve?
Yeah, Chair, on item A, grant application for Devon Free Readers. They kindly invite me to their events and I invite them to my event, but obviously they are heavily connected with my own donation campaign, so it's just a personal interest.
Right, thank you very much.
Grant application, so I suppose I'll declare that with the compromise payments in my ward chair.
Right, thank you. Is that the lot? To resolve that the press and public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part two. We don't have a part two on the agenda this evening. To consider and receive reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, and the town clerk, town manager as appropriate. Planning committee. Lynn, please.
Proposed acceptance of the minutes of the meeting held on the 24th of September and the 9th of October 2017, and there was a recommendation for the consideration. I so move.
Thank you very much. Second, please. Maddie, thank you. All those in favour? Thank you very much. Town clerk's report that's been circulated. Does anybody wish to raise anything on the town clerk's report? Yes, Bruce.
Thank you, James. Sorry, just a very quick question. I know that probably a few of us, John, Mark, Lynn, myself, we received a communication from the men's shed thing, and I just wanted to let you know that we received the communication, and obviously it may be something that we need to follow up on, not necessarily perhaps at this meeting, but I just wanted to raise it so that it's quite clear that we had obviously received you, because it says at your meeting tonight, can you sort out this practice, is it on the public note, please? So I'm not proposing we sort it, I wanted it to be made clear that I've received the email and I've raised it in this public domain.
So I can give a brief update,
right,
insofar as
you.
I met with Ocean this morning and we have agreed a joint communication, and Molly and Tim will be contacting all the stallholders that have expressed an interest in participating in a cracker event. Communication will go out to them in the next couple of days to confirm what the arrangements are for them to book a stall at Ocean in lieu of a cracker event in the Strand. It was a positive meeting this morning, without sort of over-promising. I think it does have the potential to be a really nice event, but I'm not going to put too much out into the public domain until Ocean have confirmed exactly what they're planning to provide. But over and above the stall space in Ocean and Father Christmas, there is potential for some other add-on things that will make it very Christmassy and hopefully will be attractive for potential school holders.
Steve?
Well done.
Just for you, Chair, at 10 o'clock, will there be a press release going out about no cracker in the Strand this year? Because I've had several people contacted me since our meeting.
Yeah.
I'm wondering whether there's going to be.
Yeah, certainly I can issue a press release tomorrow, that's fine.
I believe the Strand is already booked for that event, isn't it?
So we've reserved the Strand space for that
if
event.
If charities wish to organise something themselves in the Strand.
Well, I would need to release the booking and then somebody else would need to take it on.
Right.
But it is still reserved at the moment.
Yeah. Fine.
Although Nick Christo is aware at Street Scene that we won't be delivering a cracker event in the traditional way in the Strand space this year.
Excuse me, Chairman, could you put that as an add-on to your press release stating if charities wish to contact you?
I don't want them contacting me.
I think
we will word it in such a way that if the charities want to get together and organise a separate market in the Strand on the Saturday, then they're perfectly at liberty to do so. But we won't be coordinating. Yeah, but there isn't an alternative as far as the town council's concerned.
Well, it is for them, they can do it.
Well, they can do that if they want to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're telling people.
Yeah.
But I think if we have to be very careful that if we put that in a press release, that they might think that we're offering to organise it for them, and we're not.
No.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
But on a positive note, I know that quite a few of the charity stalls have already booked stalls at Ocean.
Good.
There are four or five that have already booked stalls at Ocean.
Excellent.
So, yeah. I'm just having a look on other things on my town clerk's report. Several councillors reported today that one of the flower towers up on Salterton Road has been damaged, and we've asked Voices of Man Street to come out and sort that out tomorrow. We have got spare flower towers, so if it is damaged beyond repair, they will replace it with an undamaged one and they'll replant it for us, but that will be attended to tomorrow. Other than that, I think my report should be self-explanatory.
There's also been, could I ask you that, that you contact the police as well with regards to the damage to those towers, the damage to the cars that are parked opposite Cranford gym, the club, because at the weekend.
I'm not going to, I can't report damage to third party property. I can only report damage to our property.
To our property.
So I can report damage to the flower tower, but I can't report damage to other people's cars. They need to do that themselves.
Well, I just think there's somebody going around trying to sabotage Exmouth at the moment with the damage that's going around the town itself.
If it's
just a point.
If it's helped, Chair, and I'm looking at a bit of action, I think we've got a meeting this Wednesday.
Got a lag meeting.
We will raise that issue
then.
There.
Thank
okay.
you.
All
thank
right.
you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's it.
Right. Nothing else on Town Clerk's report.
Thank you.
Town Team and Tourism Forum. These notes were circulated. Did you want to give a verbal update?
The town team.
Yeah.
Bill was at the town team meeting.
Bill.
Did you want to add anything to the notes?
Only the fact that we are hunting for a home for lost dinosaurs to winter somewhere safely. We've got to move them and they need storage. And various avenues have been looked at as yet at our right town farm. We haven't found it. Mainly we have to harm them.
I haven't found any there yet.
Yeah,
no.
That was the only major thing.
Thank you very much.
You're probably sorry, Chair. Yeah. I'm sure you've tried, but what about Camperdown?
So they are going into Camperdown on a temporary basis, but some of them are quite big and they're going to take up quite a lot of space. And Nick can't have them there longer term for operational purposes. They are. Actually, the ones that are being taken up or being taken up at the moment are going into a street scene compound in Budley Salterton where they're being stored free of charge. But East Devon have sold the compound, otherwise they would have, Nick would have been happy to keep them there over winter. But they will have to go to Camperdown and he hasn't got the space for them to stay there long term. They can go in there for a couple of weeks, but we'll need to sort something out long term for them.
Next report is the notes of the lag meeting held on the 13th of September. These have been circulated. Do you need to update Steve or Bill?
Councillor Gazzard kindly did our own at last council meeting. And thank you, in particular on the traffic light situation, and that's important. Certainly one thing I don't know if was discussed at the last meeting, Steve said, we have another lag meeting on Wednesday, but there were several things just mentioned, and one I ought to is burglary and offences and damage. We've got criminal damage up 20%. Most of that's been in the gardens, unfortunately, but other places as well. Shoplifting has gone up 3%, and that was put down mainly because of the quite strict criteria Marks and Spencer have now, and they're actually catching people, which is good. Vehicle offences are 85%. Vehicle offences are actually damage theft from vehicles, and most of this is a massive increase with people leaving things in cars on fashion to see handbags and on the back seat, briefcase, and so on. And it's that really pushed up tremendously, 85% increase. So the police are warning, asking us to say that we want not to. Violent crime increased 17%. That's non-contact. Again, violent crime includes things like Facebook and comments, if not physical. So they were the things about the previous meetings.
Can I just say, Chair, there is a monitor about sharp bins in toilets.
Yeah.
I understand through social media that they are now installed in the toilet.
Right.
So there has been a bit of a campaign why are they so I've actually tweeted why they're in there. But they are now in existence in the toilets.
Lovely.
Men
thank
and
you.
Women's.
Yep. Lynn? Right, thank you. Pauline, please.
So we've had, Ron's is doing quite a lot of work on the finger posts. So there's one that's missing a cap, and Ron's husband found some of the fingers on the beach when he was walking the dog, and they are now back in our office. And then there's one in the Magnolia Centre that's been written off by a car that Julie and I have discussed today, whether it's worth putting in an insurance claim. We've come to the conclusion it probably isn't, because the excess fee and the increased premium, it'll wipe out any insurance benefits. So those are the only two that I'm aware of. I'll get it checked then. Okay.
Yeah, because you were swinging on the leisure one.
Okay. Okay. I'll look into that tomorrow. Thank you.
Fred, please.
Thank you. Yes, just to back up what Lynn was saying about apart from the payments, I have got where it was. But could we write a letter perhaps to East End District Council? Because they're guilty with their own vehicles when they're not working parking on payments, and say this soon as the recycled vehicle parking the lorry wholly on the pavement, completely parking.
Tim?
Yeah, I just wanted to return to the lag thing about the Facebook offences, and I wonder whether Steve had got anything from the meeting about, was there a figure by which violent crime or abusive crime through Facebook had increased.
Now,
clearly it is a big issue. Yeah. I suppose I'm aware we have it's not in one. Yeah. I think it is important because I think social media abuse is, it's the topic of the moment, if you like.
I've got one just on the these minutes, page 3, down the bottom, where it says raise concern about a potential fire risk at the state park. It's a typo, so it's a
skate park.
Okay.
Yeah. I understand that there was a fire in the field park last night.
Yeah.
There's been a tree that had been cut, fell down, and then they went and turned it into a play area and set the light last night.
It's a lag, yes.
Can I just give an update?
Right.
I'm for you, Jeff. Is that, yes, you're absolutely right. There was a fire that started on Saturday night before midnight. It was the old tree that was converted into a natural play area.
Mm.
A person or persons unknown decided to set it on fire. It involved two vehicles staying there until 3 o'clock Sunday morning because they had to use chainsaws to get into it. Withycombe members use it as well, so it's just a matter of interest. But yes, so the fire service, I think, would like to see it taken away.
Oh. Right, thank you. Bill?
Yeah, that's just to mention, and just hear what Councillor Scott said, we're getting more and more vehicles parked on pavements, on pavements. I was a bit surprised that phase six of the last round meeting, when I asked for an owner parked on the pavement, to the Crown for Fire Inspector, being surprised that the motorhome would have to be parked totally on the pavement for police to take action. It would appear that the police don't have the best fear and are not coming out when people say things are parked on pavements. But I'm interested in what Councillor Scott said, and if a photograph is taken and sent to our two councillors, district councillors, county councillors, you might be able to do something like that.
Yes, you can't use it as any evidence of a crime or to find people, but they will use it as evidence as a need for enforcement. So if you've got a picture, just call them on the
useful.
Coming back to parking, there's a response from Councillor Cahill that we ought to send a letter to the council about this matter. What do other councillors feel? Are you in favour of this action? Personally, I think that we don't stand much of a chance with recycling vehicles, because they have permission to park for a limited time, something like 5 minutes in a road, to enable them to clear the items from the properties, and they go on the pavement to allow traffic to go past so that they aren't blocking the whole pavement. This happens up in my area, so I can't see really that we've got much of a leg to stand on when they're trying to help the residents by letting them still have access whilst they're carrying out their duties. Maddie?
Councillor Cahill here has got a picture of a recycling East End vehicle outside the co-op, where they don't pick up from the co-op, they actually pick up from the residents. Mm. So parking outside the co-op is a no-no. I have suggested that Councillor Cahill sends it to East End.
Right.
Well, back him up.
Yeah.
Or forward, if you forward me, if you forward me the photo.
If they do it outside someone's house, residents' house, that is recycling. If they're parked right on the pavement outside the co-op, they're not picking up from the co-op.
No.
That is industrial waste. So that is a complete no-no.
Which co-op?
Extra Road.
The big one.
Opposite Central Station.
So
yeah.
Do they want me to write a letter?
I think if we ask our councillors to raise this issue at LAG and take it up from there. Would that be?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I agree with Councillor Chapman. The police do not have the capacity to tear out every time someone's parked on the pavement. In fact, apart from saying they block the pavement totally, I was told at another day meeting that I'm surprised livery drivers can park on the pavement if they're legitimately delivering. And if they're not delivering things from Amazon these days,
so, can we have a show of hands? Those who wish the letter to be sent, raise their hands, please. Those against? Those abstaining? Can you send the letter, please?
Yep.
Can I ask for the issue that I brought up with Inspector Weeks earlier about blocking of service roads, back lanes, which is going on all the time? When Inspector Weeks herself was here, she said exactly the same, that
wouldn't have been allowed to place it on.
But is that in respect of East Devon District Council vehicles? And
that's
because my understanding is that you want me to write to East Devon District Council about EDDC owned vehicles and sewers vehicles that are under contract to East Devon and the inconvenience that they're causing through inconsiderate parking. Yeah, so that won't extend to general people that are parking across service roads. No, okay, fine. But they're under contract to East Devon District Council.
Right, thank you very much. Passing on, Neighbourhood Plan Steering Group.
I've got a report to read out.
Right, thank you very much.
This is a report to the Town Council from the Steering Group, and I've been asked to read this out by Roy Pryke. He says, following the successful consultation day at Ocean on September the 19th, which was attended by close to 400 members of the public and which was reported on at your last meeting, over 200 comments forms have been received either on the day, handed in at the council offices or library and via the internet. These forms have now been examined and close to 2,000 comments identified for consideration. Transformation of the consultative document into a draft neighbourhood plan, incorporating appropriate and relative comments, is now in its final stages, and at the beginning of November, will be handed to the NPSG's chosen consultant, Devon Communities Together, for professional advice. East Devon District Council has now appointed a replacement neighbourhood plan officer, Mr. Philip Twamley, who has immediately engaged with the steering group in a very positive and helpful manner, enabling the very time-consuming process just described to be carried out to the tight timetable that the group has set itself. By the time of the November report to Exmouth Town Council, it's hoped that the draft neighbourhood plan will be with East Devon District Council for its informal scrutiny prior to the formal six-week consultation period, which will be required before a submission document is brought to Exmouth Town Council for your consideration. The Neighbourhood Planning Steering Group continue to be well supported logistically by the staff at the council offices, to whom thanks are due. Roy Pike.
Thank you very much. Fred?
Thank you, Joe. Can I ask a question about funding of the neighbourhood plan? Because I know that on the
so
now, what I'm asking is are we going to be in a situation?
No, not at all. So we've been budgeting for the last three financial years. We've been budgeting to contribute to the Neighbourhood Plan Steering Group. It was £6,000 in year one, £10,000 in year two, and we've budgeted £10,000 in year three. And we are well within that budget. We've been within the budget every year. We got some grant funding from East Devon District Council when we first registered for the plan, and we have recently successfully applied to DCLG for extra funding to help with some of the consultation processes that are being undertaken currently. There's a maximum £15,000 that we can draw down from DCLG. We've drawn down about six this time round, so there's still £9,000 outstanding that we can apply for. But in addition, because of our high population, we qualify for free technical support. Now, cases you're citing, the town councils, parish councils have probably had to pay for that technical support because the size of their parish doesn't, they don't qualify for the free technical support that DCLG offer. So we've got money left in the pot in our own budget this year. We've got unspent locality grant funding that we can still apply for, and we've got confirmation that we will qualify for TAME inspection and other technical support when we come to do the environmental assessments and various assessments that are needed. That will be all covered by DCLG.
So the answer is there's a lot of grant funding out there that's covering
Yeah. And there's additional grant funding because of our size, so
yeah. I'm pleased to hear about because you know, when I heard the figure of 48,000 pounds to civil town council, I was aghast at that, and I was concerned that, you know, we might be spending
some. I think the other thing is that, you know, we've got some professionals that are on the neighbourhood planning steering group, Dave Radford and Keith Bungay, who have very sound planning experience, as well as Roy Prykenny and Cann, who are, you know, they're giving their time free of charge. So where other town and parish councils have to pay for that type of input and that contribution, in Exmouth it's been provided completely free of charge.
That's fine, thank
you. Pauline? Benefit of that.
They've given an awful lot of time and it's through there really that what's your good neighbourhood plan.
Moving on to Officer to Ex Chairman and Clerk's meeting. This meeting was held at Buddy Sorts and Town Council offices, but it was our turn to hold the meeting. So we persuaded them to let us hold it over there and we did all the work for the meeting. I chaired the meeting and we supplied the refreshments. Those notes are there, what we discussed. They've been circulated.
No.
Culp, verbal update, Pauline? Regeneration Programme Board. We got the action points from the meeting held at the Ocean on Thursday, 21st of September. Anyone wish to comment?
Please,
question? Brian?
Could anyone let us know, without letting any cats out of any bags, what progress is actually being made regarding future developments to the Queen's Drive?
Well, I haven't got anything that I can add other than what's already in the public domain. I mean, it's what's, you know, we didn't actually talk about Queen's Drive at the Regeneration Programme Board. Really, it wasn't, it was mostly focused on the neighbourhood plan. There was an update.
Saying, what's happening?
Yeah.
To give them some indication. But if there is no indication, so be it.
So the Regeneration Programme Board, we didn't focus on Queen's Drive. I mean, the meeting notes are there, and you'll see that the bulk of the meeting actually was about the neighbourhood plan.
Okay.
It's as minuted.
There have been the consultations down at Ocean, which the public were invited to attend.
I know, but a lot of people have been asking me about the play park area. There's nothing changed there.
They haven't got to that. No.
So you've got multiple, according to the, when they presented to us, the roadmap and whatever it is for it, basically you get the planning permission and the funding because it's been placed for the course, but we get the planning permission in, so that would activate the road being moved, which then moves you on to item So you would hope that without unlocking the road, that we could be talking in a matter of months launching something for the ministry, I would think.
Circulated the EDCC Arts and Culture Forum. Those notes were sent out today, this afternoon. We now come to district councillors' reports. Go around the table. Pauline, would you like to start, please? Right, thank you. Maddie?
Bill?
Oh, sorry. Bill?
Can't see Bill
through
Fred.
No.
Okay. Maddie?
Some times will be put on the website.
ideas into our head, and we discuss what we want to do with the way of training, and I'm also organising scrutiny training for officers and members of overview and the scrutiny committee. Again, that will all be put on the website. So that's what I've been up to.
Thank you. Bruce?
Well, I think Bill and I, we attended the last scrutiny meeting where we considered complaints and how our complaints would be costly and they dealt with. So I think that's really all we did at that point in time. Happy to pass on any other thoughts that we may have.
Brian?
Thank you, Chair. Apart from general run of the mill things, I've been involved with negotiations for the lease of a railway club. With the chief executive, and we've come to a very satisfactory conclusion, which is all parties are happy, I'm pleased to say. That's what I've been up to for the last week or two.
Cherry?
some of the playing pitches, it's not always the flexibility of use that there could be across the district. You know, sometimes it will say this is designated for a particular sport, and they're not able then if they've got cricket or something they want to do on the rugby, but it's not always being able to have that flexibility and planning, as it were. So one of the things I want to look at is playing pitches in general, because I know there are sports teams, for example, youth rugby, you know, could probably need more space if they're not using the adult pitches and churning them up and all things like that. So it's probably something that when I get time to look at it properly, I'd like to bring to town council anyway, for people to have a view on it.
Thank you. Steve?
Yeah. Can you tell me what you discussed then? Was that to do with more of you?
No.
It wasn't to do with more of you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, for my part, I've been dealing with rubbish. I sit on the Refuse and Recycling Board, and as you're probably aware, the whole scheme is now being rolled out across the whole of the district. And apart from a few hiccups like we had in Exmouth, it's gone exceedingly well, and the recycling rate is tremendous. I think we are now, we are now third highest in the country for our recycling rate. From when you consider we were probably about 18 or 20, we've come a long way in a short period of time. Our next ambition, if you like, is to also include recycling household gardening refuse. We've had initial discussions. We're hoping that that CETA or SUIS, I still call them CETA, but SUIS, changing name, so that they may well take it on under the terms of their contract. So we're waiting for them to come back with some financial costings. And if all goes according to plan, we hope to roll it out, maybe in two phases, but we haven't decided yet, in April. The other committee that I sit on is ordinance governance, which is obviously a very important one for the running of the council, because at the end of the day, that stops the ordinance and governance committee. And obviously, DMC, the management committee, which we've been really busy with huge amounts of plans. We had a hectic day today. very enjoyable. But what did come out of our last DMC site visit this week, but the other week, was, and I speak from a personal experience, was site safety. Because we went on to a particular site in Sidmouth, and I wouldn't go any further because I was concerned about my safety. And although I've got two of my colleagues here, they're very good, they look after me, I don't think it's fair that I put them in a position. So I checked, asked them to check out the legal side, whether or not I was insured, and whether councillors were insured. Initially, they weren't sure, but then they told me that, yes, we are insured. Yes, I am insured, should I have an accident, even though I'm aware of what my as much as I can do. So that just makes me think, and I'm looking at Lisa, and she'll probably say exactly the same. Are we insured? And would I be covered if I went out and I had an accident like I did before, and I was told, not by you, but your predecessor, that I wasn't?
Yeah, no, we've had the insurance.
Yeah.
The insurance review has been done very recently, and we spoke specifically about councillor insurance. There are limitations in terms of councillors being insured above a certain age, but none of our councillors are above that age bracket.
Okay.
So yeah. Yeah.
We're getting towards it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll check the specific terms of the insurance policy. I mean, it depends on the circumstances, I guess, and what we're looking for cover for. But I'll circulate it to you. Yeah. 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 So I think when Steve's talking about DMC, obviously they're not town council DMC visits. So yeah. So that would be the district council in terms of DMC. I mean, when we had visits to the town hall, you'll recall that it was the contractor at the town hall that had a legal responsibility to ensure that we all had PPE. So I think it depends on the circumstances. Yeah. But I can circulate details of the cover that we've got if councillors are interested.
Yeah.
Thank you. Brenda?
Yes, I attended the Greater Exeter Area Forward Plan thing today, the County Hall, which includes Cambridge and Easton, and officers from all of the county, obviously. I mean, it's a huge thing that they're looking forward to 1936. The housing that we're needing, 2036. It was really, really interesting. But it's, we're talking huge amounts of houses and jobs and the economy and everything. It's all high-powered stuff. So I don't know where we'll sort of slot into that, but obviously East Devon is very involved with Sky Park and sort of areas up there, so we shall be, will be involved in that quite seriously, but yeah, it's interesting stuff. There will be a report that comes out, and I guess it'll come via East Devon. I think Mark Williams was also on that, but he's away, so he wasn't there.
No, thank you.
I would just like to ask Darrell about Warren View. It says on my notes that Pauline reported that Exeter City Clubs weren't able to build the 3G sports clubs out there.
Well, there's more. Very much that's on. They won, so it went out to open 10 more tenements. People to come and express interest in sports clubs, and we had four or five expressions of interest. It was selected the Football in the Community, which is the charity, so it's not Exeter City Football Club, it's the Football in the Community charity. It's aligned to Exeter City, came up with the best concept because they wanted to put in an education is that as part of what they said in their earlier ideas that they would like to have all weather facilities as well. There were or have been some issues relating to their legal advice regards to what's going underground, or what has been underground, because it's historically been used for different bits and pieces. So that's being worked through. Currently, the Exmouth United are playing and maintaining it on a temporary agreement. And when the football community thing kicks in, I mean, they're already working with football community anyway, so that, you know, that's the answer, is that they would be in their plan. It will come through. There's no concrete plans to stick one on there. But
and are East End really working towards more sports pitches for young people who can't get their team on the pitch on a Sunday when they want to?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is part of the reason we wanted to do, as we're doing the Warren View, is to ensure more it was open to more to clubs and this, that and the other. I know there was an issue with the previous tenants, which was before my time of getting re-elected, but turned up on my doorstep on the second day of getting elected. I believe they're no longer in existence, that club. But yeah, there are issues. But one of the things I want to do is, because we've got so many kids playing so many sports as well, we absolutely need to maintain Warren View for football. That was clear. And that is absolutely the plan. But around the district, I think we need to look at the flexibility of how we're using sports pitches and where necessary invest so that more people can use it. I mean, if people hear these things, because obviously I'm not always in the loop, then just let me know. I mean, there's a limit to what I can and can't do, really. But where that's, it might be a case of saying, well, actually, football community are looking for additional people, and then they might not know that the option's there and things like that. I mean, because obviously, archery club's another aspect of all, sorry, if we've got to call it Witherton Fields or something. Yeah. It's quite complex, and I think the difficulty is football clubs they can be really strong for a few years, and then depending on the leadership or parents changing, it can be what they've just got.
The young people get older.
No, I know, yes. I'm finding that out. Pauline?
Yeah.
Well, that's speculation. I would have thought Pauline had said.
They've started building.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. It's not for me to discuss their future agreement.
No, I mean, that was public domain.
Yeah, but whether that is or not happening is, I don't know. But currently, they needed somewhere to play. And they've been using, because they were subleasing it, which wasn't part of the original agreement before, and they didn't realise. So now they're using it with the District Council's blessing. And keeping it trim and nice.
It's being approved on
time. Well, you're going to talk about Rob, I'm talking about one of you.
Right, thank you. County councillors, please. Richard?
So, yeah, reminder again, we spoke about last time, we had some parish meetings for the highways over the next couple of weeks. This was many for the town as possible to have a conversation before we get back into the budget details for the town council. 2018. I attended the Grenadier consultation, which I thought was brilliant. But also, it was good to see the use of the full building. Every time I go back into the Ocean Building, which has got a lot of places in the last few years, there's more and more people using it, so it's great to see the LED and got ourselves moving in that respect. Lots of meetings I went to, but I think the best one I attended in October was a town team meeting, which I gate crashed. But it was one of the most positive conversations that I listened to for the last 12, 18 months, and it was great to see what plans those guys have got, what they want to do in Exmouth, and it's up to us to support them, what they're doing to the town council, what they're doing for its budget. I also went to Limpson on Saturday, and there's a few examples of what a parish or a town or equally just interested people. So the youth club has been completely renovated, effectively it's cost no money whatsoever. It's all been done by residents. It was led by a parish councillor, a lady called Susan, who was just full of energy. The venue just continues rolling, so next door to it, we've now got another avenue about preschool. That's just started, so Luton's going to be a new preschool. It's a fantastic building, it's 11 of them going up in Devon County, I do believe, over the next 6 months.
I also attended the Grenadier meeting. I thought the building that was pretty good. Ended up answering quite a few questions from the general public, as normal. Yeah, that was fine. Been out and about with Highways Officer again last week. So I've been out doing gullies, hedges, bushes, knocking on houses, giving them letters to tell them to get their paths and bushes and that cut back. I've also issued out some pavement parking notices to people. Myself and Richard have also been invited by the enforcement officers to go out with them in December. So we'll be putting our yellow jackets on and stand by X-Men. The parade pavement has been resurfaced, as has the Strand end of Roll Street. And the Excestry membership partnership, management partnership, I've had three meetings. Two of those was to get the Excestry users all together, and we are progressing on that, which is good. And the last, but no means least, I was out with some lads doing crab tiling. What is crab tiling? Basically, it's the baiters, the guys who go out and find peeler crabs for bait, for sea fishing. And their area over the Starcross side and this side has been reduced, but hopefully we can help them out with either a permit or a license to maintain their livelihoods. So yeah, we are progressing, and we're looking after the right people who use the area. I think that's Richard.
So one last thing, we've got health scrutiny coming up this month as well. So if there's any questions, anything you guys want to know from the CCG, reference to changes that's coming.
I think perhaps Jeff can answer this. Those three big yellow boys out there, is that the new area that they've partitioned off for the five areas?
There should have been boys put out by East Devon District Council by Duck Pond.
They
should have been out there over a month back, perhaps, shouldn't they?
Right.
Yeah, so that, yes, they are. Is the answer.
Can I just add, don't get those confused with Paramount Ski Club?
Yeah, I know that, but yes, you're quite right as well. But they got four.
Brian?
Thank you. Jeff, is there any progress we've made to consider repairing the centre joints in Moorfield Road, the concrete? I know they're technically not potholes, but they're still very large pieces missing.
The vehicle has gone around, and unless they are a certain depth and width, the vehicle will keep going. If the depth and width is to the criteria that is set for the subcontractor, they will fix it. Saying that, there are some works about to happen down at the bottom of Moorfield Road, and I think I can say that we've got 46 road traffic orders that are being passed, hopefully the end of the week, which will then go forward for advertising. Hopefully there'll be no objections. If there are no objections, then the work, all the work we've been told could and should be sorted out by the end of December.
Thank you. So that's under constant monitoring then, in
yep.
effect. Okay, thanks very much.
Okay.
I just
going to
say,
Pauline.
Past Imperial, there is a drain there that's actually collapsed. It's been like it for a long, long time. I did try and mend it. It's really like that now. Just past Imperial.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The junction of Imperial Road and Alexandra Terrace.
That's right. The last person who fixed that was Streets Inn, East Devon District Council.
It's really bad.
It's just gone again. We'll put that in.
Lynn?
I was only
going to
ask if there's a criteria with regard to speed humps when they're damaged. Because it's not technically a pothole, but some of the speed humps in some of the areas of Exmouth now are very damaged and they're causing a lot of problems with cars and
yep.
cycles and things. But I didn't know.
The speed bumps again, Richard Elliott, he's our highways officer, he's out and about again today. He's going to come back to us on Wednesday because he's busy in Exeter tomorrow. So, speed bumps, I'll ask. But he actually goes round on a fortnightly basis checking, and the other vehicle is going in on a fortnightly, so it should be on a weekly basis, really. So. One's doing it fortnight, the other one, but I'll ask on that. So the Imperial Alexander Terrace.
Steve?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I mean, the roadworks at the bottom of Moorfield have been done. Thank you very much. They did close the road again the other night to put the screening down, and unfortunately what's happened is they put the screening down and it's covering up or made the white zigzag marks a lot lighter now, which is more difficult to see at night time. But I'm grateful to Brian raising the issue of the problems at the top of Moorfield Road. And I've written to you both a couple of times from Junction Marble Crescent downwards. And I know that you've both been and had a look, and I appreciate that. But the situation is, as you know, it's a concrete road with tarmac on the top. Tarmac now is disintegrating because it's a very busy road. And the whole lines down through the middle are becoming wider and wider. I'll just bring it to your attention again because obviously someone is going to fall in it sooner or later. And I think you did say before that you were hoping to get it on next year's.
I think Steve referenced the communication of Bronson. I've been twice.
We haven't ignored your letters.
No, I know you, because you've always responded.
And we're also sorting out by Moorfield Crescent the bus shelter and the bus stop itself, the metal bus stop. Okay.
So. No, I'm not.
Fred.
Just saying that as Brian raised it.
Hi, Jeff. Well, while Jeff's got his pen and paper there, I bring to your attention the pavement and curb by the traffic lights at the end of the Lincoln Road by the shops. And the problem's being caused, I've seen it happen on two occasions when I've been parked at the traffic lights to turn right up the Salisbury Road. Lorries have come up to turn right into Lincoln Road and they can't fit through, so they make the pavement.
Get out the lorries.
It's damaged the tarmac, it's damaged the curbing, it's not the lorry driver's fault.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we have any town councillors who wish to give an update report, please? No? Right. Thank you very much. End of reports. Now we come to budgetary control and authority to spend. Can we take all these as block, please? Authorisation for WPS insurance, BDDC's August salary and September salary. Somebody like to propose, please? Thank you, Steve. Second. Fred, thank you. All in favour? Thank you very much. Grant applications. The councillor. Cherry? Thank you.
I'd like to start with the Exmouth from the District Allotment Association. There are some things that are out of this.
And you will.
I'm not voting, that's fine. No, they're leaving because they're both on the Allotment Association. Got a personal interest.
What I would suggest is we send these papers back. They haven't sent in any accounts with it. It doesn't mean this, and just defer it until the next council meeting. I would like to see what they have actually got in their coffers. Also, they haven't said how many disabled people are actually using this, or if it's just a wish list for the future. Maybe nobody's using them at the moment. I agree with the principle, but there's just information missing on the application for the 1500. We give them £500 to do their hedging a year, so they've already had one lot of money from us. And while I agree with the principle of doing it, I would like see what they are actually going to contribute themselves from the allotment, because they run it as a separate entity.
I'll second that.
It's entirely up to you.
Yes?
Seconded. All in favour? Thank you very much.
Right, then we're on to Devon Free Readers.
Just one moment.
Okay. Well, I just thought the way they were packing up, they were going. Oh, maybe not.
Right, continue please.
Right, Devon Freewheelers. There are groups of freewheelers all over the country. They work with the NHS, but the NHS doesn't support them. And they cover the hours that aren't covered by the NHS. I looked up on their website, and they cover weekdays out of our service. It's 1700 to 0600. 24/7 on a weekend service. This particular group have just put the registered office in Honiton because they've taken over the tourist information building there, which was suitable for them, and they had a decent thing. They're asking for £500 from us for petrol. They exist on sponsorship, if you like, from various companies that they provide the vehicles and everything. And basically, they provide the service that is missing in transporting blood from one to another. Their Claremont Medical Centre, or medical practice in Exmouth, actually runs the MIU at Exmouth Hospital. And they are actually providing the service
through to them as well for transporting. There are also first responders, quite a few of them are first responders, so if an emergency vehicle isn't available, they call on whoever is within 8 miles for that emergency, and their first responders go out as well. This is all free of charge, so they need to rely in order to keep this service going, and yes, Exmouth is involved in it, if they're helping Claremont keep the service running that they need for the MIU, then yes, they are serving the people of Exmouth as well. I don't think £500, my personal view is I would give them £500 that they've asked for. It's not out of the way considering the yearly expenditure on fuel. Sometimes up to you.
Pauline.
I was going to say, it's not only the blood that we transport, they transport organs and tissue as well. And they've saved so many people's lives. And really, when you think the NHS is getting up really badly because they're not paying a penny towards it, and they're having to fund themselves all the time, which is a lot of money because they go all over Devon. So it's not just, locally in East Devon, it's all over Devon. And sometimes they have to go to it to pick up an organ, so, and bring it back to Exeter, or they might even have to go to Taunton or somewhere like that. They might have to go out of Devon, and they have to pay for it through themselves. So I support it.
Lynn, please. Bruce.
I would say that I went with Pauline and I and Ryan. We were at the community stage, which is Jill Ellison, and he gave a very, very moving talk for about 20 minutes without PowerPoint. Really. He just gave the talk himself, and it was absolutely incredible. And at the end of it, it was mentioned that all parishes should go back and actually see whether they could actually contribute. Councillor Douglas Hall said at the questions, I would urge all of you to go back to your parish and actually see if you can make a contribution. So as we've got this opportunity to make a contribution, I'm 100% behind it.
Right. Fred?
Yes, I'm very pleased to see that so many people volunteer in the community to do this sort of thing for supporting their services. I'm very aware of that, having been a volunteer for 20 years myself. What I do question is, having looked at the accounts and looked at the criteria that
Christine, sorry. Christine.
Thank you, Chairman. As Bruce did mention, we were at the Jill Elston's communities the other day in East Devon, and the talk was very interesting. It was very emotional how it all started, but I won't go into that. The
with the chief executive during lunch break, and we are now going to have a fundraising event on the 2nd of February for the freeways at the railway car, incorporating Steve Gazzard's charity as well. So that's a date for your diary. I disagree with Fred entirely. I think the reason why they need such a large capital sum is vehicles need replacing, and the miles they do, terrific amount of mileage, and they've got to have some backup. And they can't all of a sudden they need a vehicle for an ambulance. No, they're not cheap. They've got to get the money there and then when it breaks down. So I can't understand what Fred's going to ask. I seriously hope that you never need a transfer. And you never need this.
First of all, we're asking for fuel costs, right? What I highlighted was this.
Fred, could I just stop you there before you embarrass yourself, please? That is not for a coffee machine, it's slightly out of slack.
Lynn?
Comments right out from other councillors, thank you.
Lynn,
point of order, gentlemen.
Just
I was just going to make the point that actually there's a credit in the coffee.
Yes.
It's got
brackets around it.
It's actually an income.
Yes.
Not an expense, so
yes.
I just wanted to clarify that point. And you're going to have, you've got motor vehicles, so the cost of motor vehicles, they've got £2,000. So therefore, that the assets are in the motor vehicles, which they need. And the third point I'm just going to pick up from what Christine was saying is, I can honestly say they are practically picking up every day from Epsom Hospital. Very rarely they don't pick up every day. No, I quite agree with you. But I was just trying to reiterate that, as I said in my original comments, it's a very unseen service, but they do actually go to the hospital every day.
Okay. Got a proposal in a second, can we? Got a proposal in a second.
Yeah, that's right. Right, we've got two more. Steve and Richard.
Well, I was going to add to the debate, Chair, as you would expect me to, but I think everybody has said what I was going to say. And just like coming back to that, last year, two of the bikes got ridden off in accidents whilst they were actually carrying breast milk, organ parts, and blood transfusions. And they're not cheap bikes, they're very expensive bikes. And they are the unsung heroes. So I was just going to ask, Chair, sorry, Richard, I'm sorry to say, can the question be asked? Can we go to the vote on that?
Richard?
So, a couple of points. I think this comes out of like normal length of century criteria. I don't think this one is an important one. We should support it. They do provide an important service, but I will ask guys, I want to do discussions that there's no need for the emotional language. It's not necessary.
Thank you. We'll put this to the vote. Those in favour? Those against? Those abstaining? Thank you very much. Carried the amount requested, £500. Perhaps that could go with recommendation that we get a bit more information about local events when the money is delivered.
Right.
Cherry,
is that
one?
The last one is the Widdicombe.
Widdicombe Marley, play group.
Yeah, it's a play group, isn't it? Yeah. They want they would like to have £412 to renew the toys. Now we've done, except that as Christine pointed out, the one thing on here, which book bags, the rest of toys, that is a moot point as to whether really we should be funding or being asked to fund book bags, which they're going to give out to the children. It should obviously be included in their fees or coming for the fees that they're paying. Several of the children, when you look at the funding streams, it's obvious that several of the children are on the poorer end because they've got one or two in care.
Which implies that they've got a number of children that are on disadvantage.
pay group did not take it up, because we said yes, we would fund a couple of years ago, it must be now.
In the last financial year.
Then having £1,000 for new toys, mainly because it was deprived, but it was going to be the last time. And in order to prevent them from using it for rent, we said on receipt, we would pay on the receipt, which is fine. We haven't had any receipts at the moment, so they didn't take up what they asked for. My suggestion would be is take the book bags out of it, because that could be a moot point, and let them have whatever's left on receipt, production of receipt. That's £1,500.
So it'll be £299.50, won't it?
Unless you think that the book bags are fine, but then they would be requiring more book bags next year again.
Book bags were £112.50, so if you take that out, you're talking about just under £300, a grant of just under £300 to cover the rest of it.
What do you think?
Chair, can I declare an interest? I'm sorry, I didn't realise, I know one of the officers in this group.
Okay.
I'd be happy, Chair, to move that recommendation, but I'll go along with whatever the majority is.
Anyone else?
He's happy to go along with what you've recommended.
So it'll be £299.50 if you take out the book bags. Yep.
Proposal is £399.50.
£300, yeah, £300.
Second it, Bill. Those in favour? Those against? Those abstaining?
Yeah,
right, that's passed then. Thank you very much. And the final item. They're still smoking. Oh no. Final item, audit result. There's a report from Grant Thornton on the external audit, which was held recently, and a couple of items there that we've noted.
Basically, we've got a clean outcome to the audit. When our accounts are drawn down automatically from the accounting system, the boxes are populated automatically. And for some reason, it's put the council tax support grant in the wrong box. So there's just a note that we need to make sure that that's separated out last year and next year. But other than that, it's clean. There's nothing of concern there. Well done, Julie.
And that, yes.
I was just going to leave the chair and congratulations to the staff. Yeah.
Congratulations to the staff.
Yes, thank you. And that concludes the meeting.